Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, and a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, in 11 of these 12 verses, you find the word fool. So what we're going to look at in these 12 verses is weapons to use against fools. Because these verses are kind of all work together on fools and what about them and how to deal with them and any of that. Now, in looking at these verses, you can use any one or any combination of these things when dealing with fools, and they will help you not, you know, keep from getting caught in a bad trap. Now, I've listed these in such a way that we come up with 8 different weapons or 8 different instructions on dealing with fools. And we'll go right into the text because we need all the time we can to cover all of these things. Now, the first thing from verse 1 and verse 8 is do not honor them. Don't honor a fool. Verse 1 says again, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. You know, you don't get snow in the summertime, particularly around here in our part of the country. It's so rare to get snow in the wintertime, but you don't definitely get snow in the summertime. And rain in harvest is a terrible thing. This last year, when we had a drought through the growing season, it came time to harvest, and bang, there came the rain. And now they can't even get what little bit of crop did produce, couldn't even get it out of the field. And since summer doesn't, you know, see snow, and it's not good to get rain in harvest, it's not good, or it's not right, it's inappropriate, it's unseemly to give honor to a fool. Verse 8 says, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Somebody's going to get hurt. What that deals with. Somebody's going to get hurt. So you don't honor them. You say, well, in what respect would I honor a fool? Well, in a conversation with a fool, you don't say things like, well, that's a good question, when it's not a good question. You know, you don't patronize them or honor them in such a way that they think they've really asked something that's worthy of comment or answer. So you don't say that's a good question, or you don't say you're a good teacher to somebody who's expounding foolishness just to kind of get on their good side. I think you're a good person. Anything like that that makes them believe that they are worthy of your honor or anyone else's honor. They're fools, and they're doing foolish things. A lot of times in a conversation when one person has gone awry in the conversation and the thing's all messed up and you're trying to get things back, a lot of times people will say nice things or give honor to the fool in order to try to draw them back into, you know, the conversation, try to get them to turn around. That's the wrong thing to do, because honor is not seemly for a fool. They've made a very foolish statement. They are acting like a fool, and consequently, they need to be treated like a fool. And the big mistake people make is they try to deal reasonably with a fool, and they do so by giving the fool honor. He doesn't deserve honor. He's a fool, and he deserves the foolishness that he's about. It's a big mistake. When you know, there's a lot of discussion that goes on. You'll hear it. Well, I'll give you a good example. I just don't even like to deal with current events sometimes on things like this. I'll give you a good example. David came to Nabal and asked for some food for his men. He sent servants. And Nabal treated him roughly, and David was getting ready to kill him. So on his way over there, Abigail brought him the food that he desired. And when David saw her, she said about her husband, his name is Nabal, and that it was an appropriate name because Nabal means foolishness. He's a fool. Now, this woman was married to that man, and yet she said, I don't honor him. He's a fool. And he is a fool. He just about got his entire household killed by David and his men by not responding to their courteous request after the way they courteously entreated Nabal's men when they were shearing sheep. And she didn't even give him honor. He wasn't worthy of honor. He was a fool. Paul didn't give honor to the Galatians. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? In other words, the fact that you allow yourself to be brought back under the bondage of the law is your fault. Jesus Christ had two disciples that traveled with him for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden he appears to them after the resurrection, and they don't get it. And he says, you're fools, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe. And that was the most he could honor them, is just to call them what they really are. The Pharisees were certainly guys that liked to have big, big titles and, you know, the best seats in the house and that kind of thing. And Jesus Christ said, you're a bunch of fools. You're blind guides. He would not honor them, and you shouldn't either. Maybe the guy has 3 degrees behind his name, you know. Somebody said all the letters of the alphabet behind his name for all the stuff that he studied. And he may be great in the eyes of a lot of people, and he may be a tenured professor, and he may make a lot of money and all that other stuff. But if the guy talks like a fool, don't give him the honor that he thinks he deserves because of all the study that he's done. He's a fool. He's a fool. All right. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, that's a professor. And he won't, he, you know, he doesn't honor them like that. Okay, so Nabal and the Pharisees, professors, anybody that's acting like a fool, that's what they are. They don't deserve the honor. All right, here's the second thing. Verse 3, a whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass and a rod for the fool's back. Thing to do is beat them. You say, well, I can't do that. That's illegal. I realize that, but that's what they need. And unfortunately, this is mostly illegal today. There are a number of fools today who ought to just be horsewhipped. They ought to just be beaten with the rod, and that would drive the foolishness out of them. They'd be fine, and everything would go on. But now, for the rest of our lives and for the rest of their lives, we got to put up with their foolishness. You know, a fool doesn't respond to anything but pain. That's what he's talking about here. You want to train a horse, a lot of times you got to draw out the whip on him. You want to train an ass, you got to put the bridle in his mouth. You want to train a fool, you're going to have to put the rod on his back. What the sheriff out in Arizona has done is the right example. Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's colorful. He's controversial. And the policies that he's instituted there at the Phoenix Maricopa County Jail have really worked. They really, he's got the reputation now of being America's toughest sheriff. And what he did is he made a tent city for the inmates. He wasn't going to house them in some great fancy air conditioned or nice enough building that didn't need air conditioning. He put them out there in the tent, and they got to bear the Phoenix sun. They don't get smoking. They don't get coffee. They don't get pornographic magazines. They don't get movies. And they don't get unrestricted television. He puts them through what he calls Hard Knocks High, which is an accredited high school in an American jail. He's got an anti-drug program. And consequently, he doesn't have the rate of recidivism, the return population that the correctional institutions around the rest of the country do. He's not trying to put them through a correctional institution. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to put enough pain on them so they don't want no more. You got it? And that's what a fool understands. You bop him and he'll say, you know what? Next time I go around there, I don't want to get bopped. I'm not going to put up that foolishness. You take a guy that's a loudmouth in a bar and take another guy to whoop him, you know, smack him in the mouth. That'll shut him up. And then you don't have to listen to his foolishness anymore. Now, I know that's a crude and rude example, but that's what the Bible's telling you. If you want to deal with a fool, the only thing he understands is pain. Well, since that's mostly illegal today, there's not a whole lot that you're going to be able to get done with that, but that's what they need nonetheless. All right, here's the third thing. Answer them with the facts. Look at verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. In other words, don't try to reason with their foolishness. He didn't say don't answer him, because the next verse says answer him. He didn't say don't answer him. He said don't answer him according to his folly. In other words, if he's making foolish statements, there's no reason to try to reason with his foolishness, because you're going to end up looking just as stupid as he does. If he's made an outlandish, stupid statement, the only thing you can do is hang up on him. Or, better yet, if you do have to give him something, give him short, direct, straight answers right from the truth, with no room for the fool to insert his manipulative foolishness. That's right. You get in a Bible discussion with a fool, there's no reason to follow the line of his foolishness. If he says a man has to be baptized in water in order to be saved, or that infant baptism washes away original sin, he's a fool, because there's nothing in the Bible like that at all. 1 Peter chapter 3, 21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us." It's a figure. And if you were to follow the figure from the prior verse, verse 20, you would float the guy around in a boat in the baptistry for over a year in order to save his soul. That's the way that Noah, the example that's given in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, had his salvation. He was floating in a boat. He didn't go under the water. That's foolishness for a man to use that verse to prove that water baptism washes away sin and saves your soul and it's essential for salvation. He'll quote Mark 16, 16, but he won't quote the whole verse. He'll quote half the verse, and half the verse doesn't count. It's the whole verse that counts. He's speaking foolishness, and when he speaks foolishness, you can't reason with him in his foolishness. You got to give him the short, straight, direct answer, and if it doesn't turn him, you don't make any room for his foolishness, or he'll drag you down into the thing. You ever try to argue with a Jehovah's Witness? You're wasting your time. You start talking along the lines of their foolishness, and the next thing you know, you're talking like a fool. And the Lord said, when it comes to something like that, don't answer him according to his folly. Answer him with short, direct, straight answers, right from the truth, and that doesn't leave any room for the fool to insert his manipulative foolishness. There's not one verse in the Bible that says you baptize babies in order to wash away original sin. Not one. That is tradition of a church. And now many churches follow that tradition. And it has absolutely nothing to do with anyone's salvation ever. And people that trust that die and go to hell. I can't tell you how horrible it is to go to a funeral and hear the man stand in the pulpit and say to the whole congregation that's gathered there, this person was put in Christ when he was baptized as a baby. That's foolishness. And the only thing you can do is you can say, show me from the Bible. Give me the verse. And of course, he won't be able to do it. He'll start talking foolishness and tradition and manipulation. And he'll say something about, well, certainly somebody in the Philippian jailer's family must have been a baby, or somebody in Cornelius' household must have been a baby, when both of those said they responded to the preaching of the Word of God. The man's a fool. You're not going to go anywhere with that. Answer them with the facts and make them short and make them direct and make them straight answers. No reason to get into a long thing. I know you probably listen to talk radio from time to time. When I'm driving back and forth, every once in a while I'll flip it on. I don't like to listen to it much. It's pretty egotistical, to say the least. But nonetheless, you'll listen to that, and you'll hear a guy get in there and start expounding his foolishness, and they'll just cut him off, and the guy will give him a short answer and be done with him. That's what he's doing. He's following this verse of Scripture whether he knows it or not, because there's no way to reason with the guy. All right, here's the next thing to do. You don't honor him. You know, if it doesn't make a difference who he is, if he's talking like a fool, he's a fool. Don't honor him. He needs physical pain. You got to answer him with the facts. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is throw their foolishness back in their face. Just throw it right back at him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. Some people have dreamed up such foolishness that they actually believe there's wisdom, and they're conceited about the wisdom that they think they have. Paul writes all about that wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 and 3, and he says God's going to make foolish the wisdom of this world. I mean, seriously, some of the stuff they cook up is just incredible. And so what you do when you hear a fool speaking his folly, sometimes the best thing to do is just throw his foolishness right back in his face. I mean, there's nothing so strange as a man that has studied so long, like they said to Paul, much study hath made thee mad. All right, they studied so long, he comes to the conclusion that there was this matter here in a small mass, highly energized for eternity, and one day it decided to blow. And when it did, Cadillacs started coming out of it. Highly organized, out of chaos, came human beings with lungs and hearts and minds and vocabularies and ears and toes and fingers that work the way our bodies do, out of chaotic mass with no design. It just popped that way. And that it was all the matter of the survival of the fittest. We just had to find a better way. Listen, an amoeba is a one-celled thing. And that one-celled amoeba has been around since who knows when. And that one-celled amoeba does not have to become a human being in order to survive. It survives as a one-celled amoeba. And if it gets inside of your body, it can kill you, Mr. Strong Wise Man. And so you get this guy, and he comes up with all of his foolishness. The thing to do is just show him how foolish he is. An example that was used one time, and I've heard it many times by the same preacher, he dealt a lot with people that were in the Church of Christ, and they kept saying that you got to be baptized in water in order to be saved. And then the guy says, well, what about the thief on the cross? He never got baptized in water, and yet the Lord pronounced him saved right there on the spot. This day shall thou be with me in paradise. And they said, well, the thief was probably baptized before he got on the cross. But there's no scripture on that. And they say we speak where the scripture speaks, and we're silent where the scriptures are silent. The scriptures say nothing about that. So here's what the preacher does. He said, well, then Peter, and I can prove it to you, Peter shot his mother-in-law with a .45. And the guy says, you're absolutely out of your mind. There's no way in the world that Peter shot his mother-in-law with a .45. He says, well, the scriptures don't say anything about it, so he must have done it. In the same way that the scriptures don't say anything about the thief getting baptized in water before he got crucified, and yet you say he must have done it. You see how foolish that is? You say it's insane. It is insane. And sometimes the only way to deal with somebody that's insane is throw their foolishness right back into their face until they realize how stupid and foolish they look. Now, they may not realize it, but everybody else around you will. And maybe the guy that thinks he's so wise in his own conceit will walk away and realize just how stupid he is. All right, here's the fifth thing. Don't trust them to repeat the truth. Never, never trust them to repeat the truth. In other words, if you have a conversation with them and then they go back to where they came from and they're trying to repeat what took place in the conversation, they will never, ever, ever get it right. Verse 6 says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. You might as well cut your own feet off. As to send a message by the hand of a fool, you cannot trust them to repeat the truth. They will screw it up and twist it so out of shape that no one will be able to recognize what was really said. And that's why God does not give fools anything to preach. You ever been to a dead church? And the guy says he's been studying all week and he gets up there in the pulpit and he doesn't deliver anything, that it's horrible? You say, how in the world could that possibly happen? The way that possibly happens is God didn't give him anything. The man is an absolute, complete idiot fool. That's his problem. And God's not going to give him anything because God cannot trust him to deliver the message. God would never send a message by the hand of a fool after saying something like, it's the same as cutting off your feet and drinking damage. That man's just cooking up his own nonsense, and that's why what he says sounds so stupid, even though he's using the Bible for his message. And if you ever get in a conversation with one of them, or you ever have a meeting with a fool and then you expect them to fairly represent the conversation to whomever they're going to report, they will never do it. They cannot do it because a fool cannot deliver the truth in a message. All right, here's the next thing. Don't trust them to interpret the Bible. Don't trust them to interpret the Bible. Verse 7 and verse 9. The legs of the lame are not equal. That's why they're lame. Something's wrong with the other leg. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. They can't get the equity. They can't get God's view on the thing. Verse 9, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, here's a drunkard, and he's stumbling drunk. He grabs onto a thorn tree to stabilize himself. He gets the thorn up into his hand. Or he falls down on something thorny, and he gets the thorn up into his hand. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. You cannot trust them to interpret the Bible. And they cannot, it doesn't make any difference how much study they have done. As we said before, the wise are brought to foolishness by the Lord. Look, in Christ's day, he spoke parables. And the disciples came and said, why do you speak to these people in parables? He said, because they don't get it. That's why I speak to him in parables, but you get it. And then he gave them the interpretation. And today you and I can figure out all about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from Matthew chapter 13, based right there upon what the Bible says. All right? And the Bible, for instance, if you use the word leaven in the Bible, all through the Bible, the leaven is always something bad. Christ was our Passover sacrifice for us. That's why you're to get the leaven out of the church, because leaven is a bad thing. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What is that? Well, that's their false doctrine. Leaven is likened to sin. It's likened to false doctrine. It is left out of the offerings to the Lord because it's likened unto an unholy thing. So leaven in the Bible is always in that context. It's bad stuff. Now, you know, it makes bread rise and it tastes good and all that other kind of stuff. So it's inviting, but as far as the Bible is concerned, it's always used in a negative connotation. So the other day, I'm driving down the road and flip on the radio, and there's John MacArthur, and he's preaching out of Matthew chapter 13 regarding the parable of the leaven. And Matthew 13:33 says, "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And he said, that's a good thing. That's like the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through all of the world. That's the way he interpreted it. He's a fool. You say, John MacArthur's a fool? In his interpretation of that verse, he is, because that verse always shows you the effect of leaven. When the leaven is taken by a woman, you know there's a woman in Revelation chapter 17 representing the Antichrist, you know, riding on a beast. Great mystery Babylon, you know that one? The great whore? All right, she takes the leaven. And when that stuff is measured into Christianity, and when that is measured into Catholicism, and when that's measured into Judaism, and that's measured into Islam, you know what you end up with? You end up with a mess, is what you end up with. And what happened, what you're seeing here is apostasy, the leavening effect of apostasy, of bad doctrine in the church, so that by the time you get this close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's messed up. And that's the proper interpretation of the passage. But he says, it's not. He says what that is the spread of the gospel so that things get better and better as we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The most learned scholars of Christ, and there may be other things that he gets right. He got that one wrong. Okay? And so what you've got is you've got a bad interpretation there, a foolish interpretation. The most learned scholars of Christ's day flunked every pop quiz given to them by the Lord, and they revealed their own foolishness by the very questions that they asked. They'd asked Jesus Christ a question. He said, you don't even know what you're talking about. They said, you know, whose wife shall she be? Talking about the Sadducees who don't even believe in the resurrection. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You're showing your foolishness by asking the question. They said, what about giving tribute to Caesar? He said, let me see the penny. Whose superscription's on there? Whose image is on there? Caesar's. Okay, well, give to Caesar what's his, and give to God what's his. I mean, how stupid are you? Then the Lord asked them, he says, how is it that David called his son Lord when he was his son? And he's referring to the Messiah. And they can't answer him. They don't even know how to answer him. You know why? Because they're fools. They're the most learned men of their day. They can't handle anything concerning the proper interpretation of Scripture. So don't be afraid of a man just because he has a great big title and a whole lot of names and a whole lot of alphabet behind his name. If the guy's a fool and he can't interpret the Bible, he's represented himself to you as a fool. And so don't trust him to interpret the Bible for you. He's going to mess it up. Here's the next thing, verse 10. Let God deal with them. Verse 10, let God deal with them. The great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewardeth transgressors. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to worry about setting the record straight. God will reward the fool. They cannot get away with their foolishness. There is a day of reckoning. All these lies taught by biblical scholars and school teachers, warping the minds of the young people, and media lying about the truth will be settled when they meet their Maker. And they don't even believe in the Maker, but they'll meet him. And when they do, they'll find out that he was right, they were wrong, and God will settle the score. He may reward some of them right now, like prophets in the Old Testament who were false prophets. They got rewarded right there. God killed some of them right on the spot. There was a guy named Hananiah. He was preaching falsely about how the Babylonian captivity was going to end after 2 years. Okay? And Jeremiah says, well, it'd be real nice if it would. But he said, it's not. It's going to go on for 70 years, and so you're going to die because you lied to these people. And sure enough, when the year was out, he died. God rewarded that man. 450 prophets of Baal lied to Ahab about what going into Ramoth-Gilead in order to fight. The prophets of Baal lied about who was the true God. Old Jeremiah got out a sword after that big encounter up there on Mount Carmel and just slashed them all, killed them right on the spot, right after the big showdown of God answering by fire. What happened? God rewarded them. Bam, right on the spot. Let God deal with it. And then finally this, verses 11 and 12, you'll never straighten them out. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You might get them to follow you for a little while, and just as soon as they realize how good that vomit is they've been putting out, they'll go right back to that. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. You read over there in 2 Peter chapter 2 about false teachers and false preachers. They go right back to where they came from. The sow to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog to his vomit. There's no hope for a man who's conceited in his foolishness. You know why? Because he wants you to listen to him, but he is not interested in listening to you. He could care less. He'll cut you off. You listen to that show that men try to call in from time to time to straighten those guys out on the Bible and show them that the authorized King James Bible is the Word of God and the authority of God. Those guys will get irate and cut you off and then slash and bang around there for 15 minutes. Talking about how stupid and foolish you are. You're not going to change those guys. There's no way. You'll never straighten them out. You're wasting your time. So when you encounter a fool, remember these eight things. Number one, never honor them. They're not worthy of your honor. They're fools. Even Abigail would not honor her husband. She called him a fool. They need a beating. God's going to have to give it to him. You can't. Answer them with the facts. Short, direct, straight answers right from the truth. And when you can, throw their foolishness right back in their face. Don't trust them to repeat the truth. They'll never tell the truth the way that it was given to them. Don't trust them to interpret the Bible. They can't. They're fools. They trust their scholarship, not the Holy Spirit. Let God deal with them. He will reward them when he's ready and appropriately, if that day is now or at the judgment day. And don't worry about it. You're never going to straighten them out. Well, there you go.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Amen.